Hey guys, welcome back to part 2. If you're yet to listen to part 1, I suggest you check it out before you tune in to part 2. Enjoy! Hey shit talkers! So just a heads up, this interview was so dear to me because I had so much fun with Christopher despite the technical difficulties on my end. So with that being said, the side of my interview, the network was sketchy, so and we couldn't find time to re-record because I actually really love this first one, the authenticity of it. Like, it's so raw. It's us being so raw and open and having fun. I don't think the energy can be re-recorded. So I promise to get better and we'll definitely bring Christoph back. And I'm still learning on the technology side of audio. But bear with me and enjoy this interview because it's worth it. And I'm sure you're gonna love it and laugh and enjoy with us and just feel in the moment. So remember, feedback is always welcome and thank you. Enjoy.
Now, since we got to that, this is gonna come back up a little bit later. Okay. But since Roy and the little daddy and all the sexiness, you mentioned in your in your clip before your first episode, because I had to go listen to your introduction clip as well. Yep. And you, there's something about crazy relationships. Now let's talk about that.
Okay, sure.
And you, when I was listening to the episode 1, you have only dated one little person.
I have, yeah. Yep, that's it. I didn't want to associate with little people until 10 years ago. And even, you know, I didn't date the little person until maybe 5 years ago now. So I really tried to deny my own identity in a lot of ways because I wasn't comfortable with myself, and I definitely was not comfortable with other people seeing me, average height people seeing me with another little person, because we already draw so much attention. I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I wasn't comfortable knowing that people were going to look at me, and then if I was dating a little person, they were going to look at me even more because it's two little people who, and they're imagine, you know, who knows what people imagine, all types of stuff. I've had people say very suggestive things to me just on my own, or when I was with another girlfriend who happened to be average height. So I know if they see two little people and they see that they're together, they're imagining stuff about us. And that always made me feel really uncomfortable and made me so uncomfortable that I didn't want to associate with other little people. I didn't want to be friends with them. I didn't want to hang around with them. I definitely wasn't going to date anyone like that. And so, you know, it kept me from those relationships for a really long time.
The fact that you mentioned imagining things, now you kind of put that thought in my head now.
I know you.
If you see... If I have some dreams tonight, it's on you. But anyways,
I'll take it.
Back to so how has dating been for you? I'm curious.
Oh, it's been really tough. I mean, it's been my self-esteem has been so low in starting out dating, and I definitely not wanting to accept myself. It's been so hard to have an easygoing relationship with anyone, because when you don't love yourself and you don't have the comfort in who you actually are and believing in who you are, how can you have any sort of meaningful relationship? It's just so tough. So dating was always really difficult. I put a lot of pressure. I remember every year in high school and then to college, I would just tell myself, okay, this is the year I'm going to have a girlfriend. Like, this is going to be the year I'm going to have my first girlfriend. I mean, I said that to myself probably for 7 years straight, and I never had a girlfriend. And like,
every year, you're like, next year.
Honestly, that's what it was. Like, I didn't know how to get started at all. I did not have the tools, and I did not understand how to like take me and accept me and put me in front of somebody else and be like, yeah, I'm confident. I deserve love. I deserve a relationship. That was not something I was saying to myself or other people. And so, you know, it just keeps you down. It does not provide an environment where you feel like you think you should date. And so it was really, really tough. And I remember the first time I even kissed someone, the first couple times I kissed the same individual, I thought she was making a mistake. You know, I kept telling myself like, this is not something that she wanted to do. And so, you know, don't trick yourself into thinking that you deserve this. And I just shut everything down. I shut everything down all the time. And it's just miserable. You know, it's been really, really hard. It still is difficult. I'm more confident now because I'm comfortable in my own skin.
You're a big deal.
I'm a big deal, yo. That's telling you. And, you know, I'm so much more confident, and I know what I want, and I know, you know, what love is or what I think it is. But it's still really tough to find. I live in Los Angeles, which is one of the most.
I was about to say, how the fuck do you live like with bimbos? No offense to LA.
No, LA can take it. Go ahead, call them bimbos. Yeah, we can take it. No, LA is probably one of the hardest cities to find meaningful, intimate relationships because everybody just is so focused on their careers and so focused on the image of what that all looks like. And
you make it kind of shit because whenever I think about LA, that's what I feel.
No, hey, you're not wrong. You're 100% on the nose because, I mean, I've lived there on and off for 12 years now. Holy crap. And
you're a big deal now. You're a big deal.
I'm a big deal now.
That'd be a big deal to live in LA, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Or just crazy, you know? Just a big deal or just be crazy.
We did cross the bridge where we said we are not normal individuals. So crazy isn't part of a normal person. So there you go.
I mean, but I feel like there's a divergent between crazy and not normal. Like, crazy means you're going to do some just like off the wall stuff. Not normal is everybody, I think. So I don't know. LA is full of crazy people, though. I'll give you that. Definitely. So,
the fact that we talked about you, I'm very curious now on this, you and this dating lifestyle.
Yeah.
How did you get in your first girlfriend, if that's how you were in, what can I say, not confident with yourself and all that? How did you end up getting that first girlfriend?
Honestly, I needed the help of my friends. You know, I didn't know what to do around women at all. And so I spoke with a friend of mine who just, he kind of coached me, you know, he kind of told me things to say. And I think I was 25 or 26 when I had my first girlfriend, and I didn't know. It was like a checklist that I had in my brain of what to say because I've never like successfully gotten together with someone or, you know, gone on a date with someone that it actually worked out well. And so I just felt so confused and so stifled. And so like I found there was a woman that was interested in me or thought I was cute or whatever, wanted to hang out with me. And normally
I whatever, you are cute. Come on,
well,
it.
Well, thank whatever. You. Well, she wanted to hang out with me enough to the point where, you know, in normal situations, I would just destroy it and we wouldn't hang out because I would ruin it somehow. But I saw this opportunity, and a friend of mine kind of helped me out with it, and we hung out. We dated for, I don't even remember, maybe it was 4 or 5 months, and I really didn't know how to. It was something that I just like. This sounds really terrible, but it was an experience that I kind of had to have. You know, as an adult, I needed to have like a relationship that I was bad at, but I got past like the first date, and I got past like, you know, spending the night together, and I got past hanging out with one another and being in public and stuff like that. And so I did all of those things. I was really bad at all of it. I was really bad, but I just had to do it. And that's kind of how that functioned, because honestly, if you want the truth, I would still be in that scenario if I didn't change my mindset, if I didn't change my approach. And, you know, let's screw everything up when, you know, as quickly as you can, like start getting having those bad experiences so you can get them out of the way to have better experiences. And that's really how I saw it. Like it was good. Like she was very sweet. I was not in a good place to date her. You know, I couldn't give her what she wanted, and I understand that, and I recognize that, and you know, I've learned a lot from it, and I hope I've learned, you know, for the better, for, you know, my future relationships. But you know, there are so many things, and there's a lot of pressure too when you have your first dates and girlfriends at 25, 26, because I know women feel, I've heard about the biological clock that's going off, but like, but you kind of like, as a man, you also feel your own version of that, because you think, wow, I'm not worthy. Like I can't, like no girls like me. How do I communicate? Am I just communicating with everyone in the wrong way? Am I just talking to, am I just unable to connect with anyone? How does this work? And so it was good for me in the moment that I was able to have this. And, you know, I felt badly that, like, you know, being my first, it wasn't the greatest experience, but you know, I know that we both had fun, and I think it may have been good for both of us. I don't know. It was good for me. I got a lot out of it.
There you go. As long as you had fun and you learned something or got something out of it, that's all that.
Definitely.
Like, shit is supposed to be messy and crappy for you to learn some shit.
Yeah.
And hey, so.
P, you are wise. See. I need to tell you that.
I fake being wise.
There you go.
I make being
wise. Yes. That deserves a fist pump in the air. Yes, good stuff.
Only when the lights are on and I'm on the talk sheet with P, I'm wise, and then out of that, I'm full of.
Hey, you're nailing it.
Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you're a little person or you're a normal person or you're a world person. Dating is just overall exhausting, annoying, like.
It's
it doesn't
shit.
Matter what type of person you are. Dating in itself is, yeah, because you're letting somebody in your personal space.
Yeah,
and that itself is not easy.
It is not
and
easy.
I'm a person who I used to like being in a relationship, right? So I was constantly like, as soon as I'm the friend that I was never single for long because I hated being single. But then lately I've been the opposite. I think when you grow up, as you say, you grow up and you learn what you want and whatever. So, and I'm so used now to having my own space that I'm like, fuck, now I gotta let somebody into my space. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this sounds good, but now fuck.
That's a thing, so right?
You might have started at 25. I started way younger, and now like I'm closed off on dating. I'm like, I don't want to go through all that unless I know they're worth it. But how can you know they're worth it if you don't go through all that? But then sometimes also when you just talk to a person or whatever, you can like, nah, I don't think we can. But dating sucks for us. So it's not just for being little or whatever. Dating is just... And I've realized that older you grow, the worse dating becomes. You would think it would get easier, but it gets more harder. I don't know.
I mean, being in Los Angeles and trying to date in Los Angeles, it's just always hard, and everybody is distracted all the time. So getting together with someone who you're compatible with, and then also is a good conversationalist and you have things in common with, and then also is not already married and wanting to cheat on their husbands or wives, you know, it's like, I just think it's really...
You know, Atlanta is the mini version of LA and Hollywood. You have all these people trying to be
yes
something, which is nice. You know, you're like, okay, can I on dating? That's when I want a normal person. Like when it comes to dating, I'm like, is there a normal person today?
Wait, we already decided that nobody's normal, so nobody's gonna be there.
I mean, at least like I'm straight and I'm not married. I have no baggage, and I'm interested in getting to know you. How can that be so hard to find?
Your only baggage is your podcast to go bag.
Let's go.
Let's go. That's it.
We're gonna leave that at that. But let me ask this for the listeners. So are you single at the moment?
At the moment I am single, yes.
So any LA people listening to my podcast,
hit me up.
You're single.
Hit me up. I need some wild stories. Let's go.
More like, do you have wild stories to share with them when they hit you up?
It depends. We'll see.
A two-way. You can't expect them only to share their white stories.
Let's make some crazy memories.
And there you go. That's way better. All right. So let's get to your life, the jobs you've had, and the life you've lived. Because you, oh my God, first of all, I don't know if it's just that bit because I was on episode one and half of episode two, but if that was really you doing the drums, that was pretty cool. So talk to us about your jobs.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Being a little person.
Yep, definitely. So I went to college and I graduated in production with a degree in audio and video production with a specialization in film. And I graduated and I couldn't get a job. And so...
Sorry of all of us.
I know. It was really bad timing. I always loved drumming. I always loved music. So I started playing drums. I was living at my mom's house and I just was practicing drums like crazy. And I decided that I would be upset with myself if I didn't try to play in a rock and roll band. And so I started a rock and roll band with some friends and ended up playing in the band for 6 years. And we toured the United States multiple times. I would be on the road for 2.5 months at a time.
That's why you couldn't date. You're always on the road, see? A drama. Do you know how much I was gonna say a word and I realized?
Hey, ladies love drummers, okay? Rhythm is an important thing.
I was gonna say, do you know how much pussy a drummer gets? And you're here trying to convince somebody to date you while you're on the road drumming. Come on now.
I know. I'll just say that my rock and roll touring days were much more timid than a lot of other people's. I did not have the normal quote unquote lady interaction with the ladies.
On the toilet and I'm going to ride on the bus with you tonight.
Yeah, that was not my experience. To be 100% honest, as amazing as that sounds, that's not how it went for me. Which actually was, it was cool because there was another experience that was happening where I was actually sleeping in beds and in clean houses on the road of family members. And so, you know, I could have probably pursued much more action with ladies on the road, but instead I was getting fed family meals and sleeping in nice, safe and clean locations. But yeah, so I toured for 6 years as a drummer. And at that same time, whenever I would come home, I had a job as a television producer for government television in Metro Detroit. So I worked for two different stations and I wrote, produced, edited, shot, directed, did audio for all different types of productions. And I did that for 7 or 8 years while I was touring in the rock band. And then in 2009, I decided it was time to wrap everything up. So I quit the rock and roll band, I quit my jobs, and I moved to Los Angeles, and with the intent of playing music, getting back out on the road, but getting paid for it in as a sideman, as a backup drummer. And instead, I ended up working more as an actor and a stuntman. So got to Hollywood, and I ended up getting called for a number of jobs. I've played... I've worked on TV shows, commercials, and movies in all different types of costumes. You know, you name it, I've probably done it. I've been an alien. I've been a furry monster. I've been a leprechaun. I've been an elf. I've been a rat. I've been a troll.
It wouldn't
like,
be right for you not to be a leprechaun now.
Well, see, but that's... Yeah, exactly. So, you know, a lot of that stuff... A lot of that stuff in media, it just is, you know, it's there. I'm over that now. I'm kind of, you know, after 12 years in the industry, I realized that that's all that we're seen as. We're only seen as these caricatures of our existence. We're not seen as real people. The one time that I wore the least amount of makeup, I played a serial killer. And I'm actually murdering people on screen and trying to kill them. And so it's pretty gnarly, but I'm wearing the least amount of makeup I've ever worn. And it's actually for a pretty incredible show. And I'm really proud that I got to...
But you're not looking extra pretty.
I have some meth teeth happening. I didn't brush my teeth for those. It's pretty gnarly.
Hey, some people like bad men, bad boys, bad... boys went to melt and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. stay away.
It's a look.
Yep. I had a breath mint that day, so my breath wasn't bad. It was just my teeth that were bad.
Oh, God. Oh, so, ladies, it's also funny, apparently.
Yeah, you can find me in Los Angeles. Hit me up, you know. Let's go on a date and talk about some weird crap.
Do I also get a date when I come to Los Angeles?
Sure. Let's do it. Let me know. Okay. I'll be naive and I'll be like, sure, let's do it.
Come on, Chris. I'm a good date.
I would imagine you to be an incredible date, for sure.
So you see, I got a date in LA.
There you go. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, so you talked about being a stunt guy.
Yep.
When you did some stunts, right?
Mm-hmm.
How
yes.
was that? What's the most stunts you did that you loved and were like, fuck, I did this, and the one you're like, really? I gotta do this?
The coolest one was murdering someone. That was the coolest one because it's... So I got to work on this show with David Lynch was the director. And I got hired to be a serial killer, and the scene that was the most violent was me murdering a woman, actually an average height woman, and she's an incredible stunt woman and an incredible actress. And to just have that opportunity, especially on a David Lynch show where, you know, he's a director that I really respect, and, you know, I respect his body of work and his approach and his creativity and everything. And so to be able to do that, I think that role is fun regardless, because that's something you'll never be, you know, as I'll never be.
So you take all your aggression, all the people you wanted to kill, you're imagining in your head while you're killing.
Yeah, for sure. That's the most physical thing I've ever done on a show ever. And that was incredible because I got to do that. And also I pulled a gun on somebody else and I get arrested and things like that. So it was a lot of like weapons training and weapons rehearsal and stuff like that. So that was the coolest, in my opinion, that was the coolest one that I've done. And maybe the weirdest one was when I was starting out, and I really had to advocate for myself, because when you're starting out, you get on different productions that don't have your back. And so there was a student production that I got hired, and they wanted to lower me on a rope in an office. And I might be 4'4", but I weigh a lot. Like, I'm 115 pounds. And this guy was...
Yeah, I'm in like 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a solid, I don't have a belly or anything really, but when I go see my doctor, I'm obese. They tell me that I'm obese. So yeah, this production wanted to lower me on a wire in an office, and the guy was gonna lower me hand over hand with a rope. And I told him, you're not going to be able to do this. I weigh a lot more than you think I do. And he's like, oh, I just want to try it. I want to see if I can do it. And I'm like, you can try to like lift me up and see, you know, on a wire. And he was blown away at how heavy I was. And I'm like, yep, this is not going to happen. Sorry, folks. We're going to do it a different way, but it's not going to happen like this. So, but you know what? I
at that point, like, yeah, I might be little, but
yeah, for sure. And I mean, you, when you work on shows, you really do have to, even if it is a professional larger production, you still have to advocate for yourself and you still have to look out for yourself. So,
oh, yes.
Especially if you're a disabled individual, that people don't understand why and how and what's okay and what's not okay. So yeah.
And it's good. It's funny you say that, because when I was studying in Malaysia, right? Mm-hmm. I would not let anybody make me feel small. I yeah. don't care if it's either by my size, my height, my whatever. I don't care. You're not gonna make me feel small. So yeah. Half of the time, there'll be this man talking to me like we'll be in a club. Most of the African Nigerian men are built, right? And I used to be a person who, like, I would come up on your face and be like, what did you say? Say it to my face. I don't care how big you are.
I can't imagine you doing that to me.
My friend Lauti will say, oh, you are being sarcastic now.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Well, anyways, so they'll be looking at me like, Paula, you're so tiny, you want to fight a bit? I'm like, I don't give a fuck how big it looks. But because when they see that, then themselves, they'll back away. They'll be like, okay, we can push around. I'm like, I've had to defend myself from my young age because I'm tiny and small. People feel like they can just, no, you're not gonna push me around. So I think I kind of covered everything about y'all.
Yeah.
I had fun talking about this shit.
Yeah, this is great, Key. Thanks for having me on.
Fun with this stuff. Like, oh my God.
Imagine when we go on a date. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, so now I actually do get a date.
Oh my god. Well,
but yeah,
we're going to have a good time for sure.
Oh, definitely. Like, have you met me? Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm your dream come true. You might be a big deal, but I'm that queen. Let me know.
I won't argue with that.
But thank you so much for coming on Talk Shit with P. And it's weird because your presentation was on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Monday or Tuesday?
Monday. It was on Monday.
Yeah, it was the first days. And then we hanged out on your meetup and it was fun. And then
yeah,
I was like, I need to come and talk some shit on my Talk Shit with you. And you're like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
I emailed you. By the way, if you ladies out there are planning to get a date with him, don't email him because it took almost 2 days to email me back. So another form of communication.
Wait a minute, really? I was moving and traveling back to Michigan, and I was on a TV show. So
all I made excuses. Okay, there's a reason email is on your phone, right?
Oh man, tell me about it.
I'm moving and I'm just messing with you.
This is also why I'm terrible at dating. I have six meetings tomorrow. This is also a reason why I'm terrible at dating.
I don't care, but if you're planning on taking me on a date, you should go listen to my pet peeves episode and then collect yourself together, because I don't take some shit out of some shit.
Hey, P, you gotta know I'm not a normal person. So if you're expecting normal, that's not gonna happen.
I'm not a normal person either.
Good.
And if you say you're little, I'm most a little. What else you got?
Oh, I'm bald.
I can shave my head too. I'd be bald.
Oh, we're going toe to toe here.
Where were we? Yes. So if you had to you've acted, if somebody wanted to say, I want to watch you in one of the movies you did, what's the movie you would recommend them to watch? Like, what's your, like, watch this first, then you can just Google my name and watch the other shit I've been on?
I say watch Twin Peaks. It's a TV show. I'm in 4 episodes in the return season. Came out in 2017.
Something to do tonight. Let's see if you're after Twin Peaks, you actually get a date, because Twin Peaks, I will judge you via Twin Peaks.
You're going to be too scared.
Since that's the one recommended.
You're going to be too scared.
Huh?
You're going to be too scared.
Is it a scary shit?
Yep. It's very scary.
You see, I can't watch scary shit unless there's somebody who can cuddle me to bed. Like, I love scary shit, but I can't watch them alone.
You're not gonna like it.
Okay, what's the next after Twin Peaks?
You can see me in a movie called Oz the Great and Powerful. I worked on that for a long time, but my scene is so quick in that. But I did stunt.
Have you acted in a comedy, rom-com or something that's not funny? Are you killing somebody or you're doing some scary shit or pointing a gun?
I worked on a show called Fresh Off the Boat in one episode. I also worked a bunch on Jimmy Kimmel Live, but it's kind of hard to see me because I'm in a lot of makeup and costumes. See, this is what I'm talking about media stuff.
It's so hard to see you because you're little.
No, they hire me because I'm little, but they cover me up. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I can be like, that's him. There he goes.
Yeah.
That's the little part.
Yeah, the last time I worked on Jimmy Kimmel Live, I worked with a 2,000-pound dairy cow.
First of all, the fact that you're on Jimmy Kimmel Live, that's so impressive. Like, you really are motherfucking a big deal. Okay, now I'm going to stop pretending like you're no longer a big deal, because I was kind of low-key, you know, being like, yeah, I'm just going to say it because that's, I have to say it, and that's this podcast name, but is it really a big deal? I'm just messing with you, but...
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I love it.
So, as we come to an end of this amazing time we had,
yeah,
since you gave me a time from 5:30 to 6:30, and it's almost 7, so clearly you're enjoying my company.
Yeah, but, for sure.
What is the what advice would you give to people who are who come across dwarf people? Like, yeah. I know most people either they're shocked about seeing a dwarf, because as you say, there are not many of you guys out there. It's not like you just walk the street every day and they're just running around or hanging out, yeah, or whatever. What would be the right way to approach, and the so not right way to approach? But then again, we are all grown, and we all know human, like, the right way to approach somebody. But then this is kind of a different situation. It's just like how when people see their favorite celebrities, they are human beings, but they go, oh my God, you know, but
so I love this question, because it gets me to toss a call to action at you guys. So I, you know, people always ask me what's the proper way to address a little person or a dwarf, because people know that the word midget is offensive, but dwarf sounds weird, and little person, they don't know. I say that the best way to approach somebody is using their name. So that means that you have to see a person, a little person, as someone who is a real human being. And that means that you accept them enough that you can go up to them and introduce yourself and say, hi, I just wanted to say hello because I wanted to introduce myself and say hi, or whatever it is that you want to. I mean, if you're in the grocery store, you can say something like, oh, that ice cream is amazing, have you had it before? Just like strike up a conversation, you know, just treat us like we are a person just like any other person. Because you never know what that interaction can lead to. It's so much better than saying, oh yeah, this is too awkward, I don't want to engage with them, it's little people are to be avoided. That's not what it is. You know, little person and dwarf are the acceptable terms to be PC, but honestly, we're people. So use our names, get comfortable with our names, and you, the only way you can do that is if you introduce yourself.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up? Hi there, I'm Christoph. How are you? You know?
Hey, Christoph, I'm Paula. What's going on?
What's up, Paula? It's nice to meet you.
Oh my God, you're little! No.
Yeah. Maybe don't do that, but, you know, say hello.
After the hello and the like, hey, yes, oh, how you doing? Yo, I've just never met a little person, and I just wanted to say hi. Is that okay?
I think that's okay. I think, you know, you don't necessarily have to point out that they're little, you know? Like, everybody kind of knows it.
Point out how little I am.
Yeah, so I don't think you have to do that. I think it can be even more simple than that, because I'm not saying this to target little people as a reason to say hello. I'm saying this because little people get targeted in the negative way, and so if you turn it around as a positive and just see them as a person, what do you do to somebody that you're in line with when you're experiencing the same experience? You might say to them, wow, it's crazy, this line is long, or, you know, how's your day going? Or just hello. You know, you don't have to, I don't think it's necessary to say, I just wanted to introduce myself because you're a little person.
That's the same.
I mean, would you ever go up to someone and say, I just wanted to introduce myself because you're overweight?
No, but I've done this. At work, there was this guy who was really tall, like even not the normal average tall. Like, I've dated guys who are 6'4", whatever, 6'3", whatever. But this guy was that I know I wouldn't have been able to date him because, like, come on, man. But when I saw him, the first thing I was like, oh, fuck, I look so small next to you. And it just came out. And then he was like, oh, yes, you do. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, no, that's fine. I'm like, in my head, because I thought I was saying it in my head, but it actually...
Yep, that happens. Yeah, I think it's... I think it's, you know, just like anybody, I think everyone just kind of appreciates being seen for who they are and not necessarily what they look like. So that's why I just say, hey, I think, you know, I just wanted to say hello and introduce myself or comment on something that somebody's purchasing or ask them a question that's just a human question. I think that's fine because it doesn't matter if we're tall or short or, you know, overweight or not overweight or have a disability or a disability that you can't see. I think we all just want to be treated like people no matter what. And so that's my encouragement to folks out there when they encounter somebody who looks different than them.
And that's treat people as people want to be treated. There you go.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, this was fun. Thank you, Crystal, for coming on. And if you're ever in Atlanta, hit me up. You're welcome.
Sounds awesome. I would love to come to Atlanta. Yeah, thanks, P. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on the show. This was really great.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
All right.
Talk Shit with P is available on all platforms and social media with the handle at Talk Shit with P. Go ahead and follow us to stay connected and engage with me. And if you're feeling generous, give us a review on Apple Podcasts or support me by buying me coffee on buymeacoffee.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, we're on every Friday.